What's up, guys? Today on the show, it's Easter weekend, so who better to talk to than a pastor? But how about a pastor who is a professional soccer player? His name is Jesse Bradley. He's actually been on this show before. Jesse was on the podcast way back in 2018 and told his powerful story. You can go back and listen to that another time. But for today, we're going to talk about Easter. We're going to talk about Good Friday today when this podcast is being released. What does it mean when we think about Good Friday? And then when we think about Easter, we talk about sharing our faith. We talk about prayer. We talk about the importance of understanding who Jesus is and the importance of keeping a mindset of an audience of one. I hope this podcast encourages you this week, and I really do. This is the kind of interview that you want to listen to leading right up to Sunday morning and Easter Sunday service. And if you hear this after Easter, it's still going to encourage you because the gospel is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesse Bradley is coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. Pastor Jesse Bradley from Grace Community Church in Auburn, Washington, right near Seattle. It's coming up in just a moment. First, I want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. If you're thinking about a resource that you can take with you after Easter and share with others, the Sports Spectrum magazine is perfect. If you have kiddos, if you have young kids who love sports and you want to introduce the gospel to them, you want to show them who are the athletes in the world of sports, the coaches, the other people, the broadcasters that love Jesus, I would highly recommend you subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do that right now by going to sportspectrum.com. Just click the magazine icon and you hit subscribe and you're good to go for a one-year subscription. Now, it's $24 for 1 year. It's really affordable. But because you're listening to this podcast, we want to give you a little bonus, 15% off a one-year subscription. Right now, if you use the code podcast15, podcast15, when you check out, save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do that right now over at sportspectrum.com. Well, it's great to have Jesse Bradley back here on Sports Spectrum. Hey, Jesse.
Jason, good to see you. I'm so grateful for all you do. I love this podcast and your interviews, the places, that intersection of faith and sports, and you're doing a great job of leading. So thanks for inviting me back on today.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for the compliments, first of all. Thanks for coming back on the show. I can't believe it's been almost 6 years since you were last on. And that leads me right to the beginning of this conversation, because there's a lot of people who weren't listening to this show or maybe missed it from 2018 when you were last on. So just to start here, update everyone on who Jesse Bradley is. I know you're a pastor and an author and lots of things, but what you're doing currently and how you're serving the Lord.
Yeah, definitely. I am currently in Seattle, Washington, been here about 8 years, and my wife and I have 4 children, one of them adopted, and all 4 teenagers right now. So it's an adventure at home, it's lively. And also with my role, Seattle was just voted least religious city in America. Oh. That's an interesting place. Also the saddest city in America, which is quite the combination. But God is doing some great things here. I love being here and what God's doing in our church. It's multi-generational, multicultural, a lot of unity across Seattle too. And it's just a new season here. And with sports, I played professional soccer. I was a goalkeeper, played at Dartmouth. You know, we had a lot of success there, won Ivy League titles, Division One, Elite Eight in the tournament, and then played overseas. A tragic illness ended my career. I was fighting for my life for 1 year, 10 years to fully recover. Sports continues to be a big part of my life right now. We do faith and family nights with Seattle Sounders, Tacoma Stars, and I still play. Enjoy the game, a lot of backyard games. My wife just never had the grassy backyard she dreamed, because we're always out there playing, tearing it up and having a good time. It's rainy in Seattle, so a lot of mud in the backyard.
Totally.
That's a little picture of life right now at this stage.
No, that's good. And what I'll do is I'll put your conversation that we had back in 2018 in the show notes. So if people want to hear more, especially about that tragic illness and the 10 years of recovery, we went deep into that the first time you and I talked, and people can go listen to your testimony from that. It'll be in the show notes and they can just click that link and listen to that conversation. But today is Good Friday and this weekend is Easter weekend. And you and I were kind of bantering back and forth a couple months ago, and I was thinking through what would be a good idea here. I want to have Jesse back on. How about Easter? Because yes, you played professional soccer, but you're a pastor. And I think you're the perfect person to talk to, especially this weekend. So much hope, so much excitement, getting ready for church. It's kind of the Super Bowl weekend for churches across the country in many ways. Let's talk through a few topics here of Easter, specifically starting with what Easter means to you, Jesse.
Well, Jason, when I was growing up, I didn't go to church. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't even believe in God. I was an atheist.
Me neither. Yeah.
Yeah, you can relate. My picture in life was have great friends, do well in school, enjoy sports. And that combination I thought would be fulfilling. Hmm. And it wasn't until, you know, I went to Dartmouth that I took a religion class. I wasn't seeking God, but the Gospel of John was assigned. Easter for me growing up meant a huge gathering. I always look forward to it in Minneapolis, grew up in the frozen tundra. And we had this gathering of many families in our community. We always had kickball. And then we had a big event where you hide the eggs and find the eggs. So you were either a hider or a finder. And I would come home with all these, you know, hard-boiled eggs, candy, and just great time, sweaty, playing kickball all day, and loved it. But Jesus was not even on my radar. And there's a lot of people in America that even though you think Easter, Good Friday, everyone kind of knows the significance, I had no clue. Mm. And it wasn't until, you know, when I was at Dartmouth, I read the Gospel of John and I learned who Jesus is. Not only like his miracles and teaching and that, you know, he was someone that you inspired to be like, but I learned about his death and resurrection. And I learned that this resurrection is the core of the message. It's not just religion or dead religion. Like, this is a relationship. And I still kicked the tires. I had dozens of questions. Intellectually, I wanted to know, is the Bible reliable? What's the evidence of the resurrection? But it came a point where that historical evidence is so compelling. I made the decision. Mm-hmm. And I've never regretted that. I mean, I would say in a lot of ways, soccer was first in my life. And then now Jesus is first. And soccer kind of got its rightful place, took some pressure off me as a goalkeeper. I started to enjoy the sport more. But more than that, I knew I'm in God's family forever. And this is a relationship with God no one can ever take away. And I felt like I found gold. I just had joy. There was emptiness on the inside, success on the outside. I say, Jace, all of us have two stories, the outside story, the inside story. A success on the outside, emptiness on the inside. And when I put my trust in Christ, there was a song of pure joy. And I'm not musical. I'm athletic, not musical. Yeah. But that song, I just walk around campus. Like, I just discovered the great, nothing's better than God. And what I just discovered, like, everyone should have this opportunity. And that's when Easter really meant something to me in a whole different way, and the depths of who Jesus is and what he's done.
Yeah, I remember I got saved and became a follower of Christ on Mother's Day of 2001. So I don't remember Easter 2001, but I know the next holiday, if you will, that we celebrate after that is Mother's Day. And yeah, that's when I had a heart that was open to say yes to begin a relationship with Jesus. Now, we're talking about why it's important to know who Jesus is and what he did. That took me a while. Even though I started the journey and said, yes, I'm in, let's try this Jesus thing. It took me like a year, Jesse, to know who Jesus was and what he did and why it was so important, even what Easter meant, if I'm being honest. Why is it so important for us to understand who Jesus is? Because you even said that for you was a big game changer, understanding, hey, I understand, I've heard of this Jesus, who is he and what did he do for us? Why is that so important for us to know that?
Absolutely, because in one sense, it's kind of simple. Like, two people can think about getting married, and then there comes a day where it's a covenant relationship, and you say yes. And there is a day where you start that relationship with Jesus. It's through faith. Faith is expressed every time you sit down in a chair. That's faith. Because right, you're not just intellectually agreeing the chair will hold you up. You've sat down, you put your weight on the chair. Yeah. This is a faith decision. And when you decide to follow Jesus, your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. You're in God's family forever. There's more blessings than you can wrap your mind around. And this is something that a child could do, or like my grandpa in his 70s, my grandma in her 80s made this decision. At any stage in life, you can decide to follow Jesus. And you almost inherit more than you realize. When you make that decision, the implications and the depths, you just keep learning the rest of your life, and your trust grows and your knowledge of Jesus grows. And then you start to realize how profound Like, we're on Good Friday right now. Yeah. And the depths of the sacrifice of Jesus and what that means, literally the sinless Savior became sin. There's a theologian's, you know, use the phrase substitutionary atonement. What does that mean? It means Jesus took our place. He died so we could live.
Right.
If I had a fatal cancer and Jesus came along and took that cancer, he would die because of that cancer, but then I would live because I'm free. And it's free for us. It wasn't free for Jesus. Love sacrifices, love's a commitment. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the full penalty for our sins. That death is sufficient. It's not like Jesus does 80 and we do 20. Jesus does 90, we do 10. He got it started on the cross, but we finish it off. No, he said, it is finished. And I'll tell you, that shift from my sins are on me to they're on Jesus. Now I'm forgiven. There's nothing more freeing than to know you're accepted, you're secure. I mean, I could name a few other terms that stand out, like propitiation means that the Father was satisfied with the sacrifice of the Son, the wrath of God poured out on Jesus, and justification, we're forgiven, we're given his righteousness now, declared righteous in a legal sense. Like, we keep adding more words and more phrases because there's so much goodness, and yet we're so humbled because there's no greater love than someone would die for us. And God not only knows us, loves us, pursues us, but Jesus would leave heaven, come to earth, fully human, fully God, take our place. No one ever suffered more. Listen, if you're watching right now, know that you're loved by God. And if you ever doubt that, come back to that cross. Because there's never been a greater demonstration. Jesus knows that you're worth dying for, and that's exactly what he did. It's very personal, what he did on that cross, and it's humbling to receive it, but that's our role, to receive the forgiveness. And Jesus is faithful, and that's why we praise him. That's why we love him so much.
Yeah, that was hard for me to grasp initially. I grew up, I wasn't an atheist per se. I was kind of agnostic and went to church with my grandfather here and there. Didn't understand grace. Didn't understand the gospel. I think of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where it's like, by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not by anything that you've done so that no one can boast, right? I think of that scripture, and I'm like, that was hard, Jesse, because everything in life that we do is usually based on performance or based on what somebody else can do. So we love in a lot of ways from a worldly perspective because somebody might love us or treat us nice first. You know, our jobs, our performance, you're being a professional soccer player, you know, you're judged by your performance on the field. And if you don't perform, well, you are, you know, going to sit the bench or you might not even have a job. So understanding grace is so important here. What do you think it is? Because there's some implications here if we mess this up, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I can relate. In the sports world, if you let in a lot of goals as a goalkeeper, you might be dropped from the team. Like, there goes your livelihood, your career's over.
Yeah.
And it's all based on, what do you do? How well do you do it? I'll tell you, that shift for me was really attached to my identity. I had a performance-based identity without realizing. And that means that when you have that trap, you're inflated, deflated, pride, shame. It's a roller coaster ride. Because who you are is what you do. That's the lie. But the freedom is when you realize who I am is not what I do. It's just an extension, but actually the shift from performance-based to grace-based. When that happened, I realized no one can ever take this relationship away. No one can ever take my identity away. My identity is not as a soccer goalkeeper ultimately, or my identity is not even my own name or any of those idiosyncrasies. My identity is God's love and grace, that I'm his child, that we are sons and daughters, and I can be secure in that. That's huge. And you know, you mentioned it's hard to make that shift. Barna reports that over half of Americans think you earn your way to heaven by trying to be a good person.
That's incredible.
Over half.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of confusion, and you know, conversations like this, we can come back to, what does God really say in the Bible, and what's the clarity there? Because it's not about what you think, Jason, or what I think. It's like, well, what does God actually say? And that's so important to go back to scripture and realize this is grace and through faith in Christ. It's never going to be earned.
It's not, but yeah, it's so hard, I think. Even those who grasp it, you and I have grasped this understanding of grace and mercy that God provides for us, and yet I still struggle. Like, I still look for people's approval. I still sometimes let my work, which is mission work, if you will, just like yours is, become my identity. And that's the danger too. What are some of the things that you've seen, even those who've been followers of Jesus for a while? We got a lot of Christians who love sports, who listen to this show. What are some of the things that you've seen to help people grasp that? Because I think when we go, it's great to say, right, Jesse? But when we go into the world or when we live our lives, I think we still get stuck in that trap sometimes.
Absolutely. I like the phrase that a lot of athletes use, audience of one. Because as an athlete, there's a huge stadium and you've got your teammates and you're trying to keep everyone happy. And it's true on the field and off the field. There's a lot of eyeballs on you. And if you're constantly chasing everyone's approval, you're going to get worn out. You're going to be fake. You're not going to be authentic. And it's actually a great relief when you know that the ultimate goal for our lives is to be faithful to God. Yeah. And when you have that focus, then you get rid of some of the noise and the voices and the distractions. And emotionally, you have some more peace. That shift is significant. And it comes from I don't think there's a security until you know your identity. And when you know that your home is heaven, eternity is given, heaven's given through Jesus, you know your love, nothing can separate you from the love of God, there is a security. What I've noticed in our own kids when as they're growing up is each night we gather to pray or read the Bible and talk to them about their faith because it's like an anchor for the soul. In middle school, high school, there's so much comparison and there's so much talk and gossip and so many things happening in a school. But for a child to know that they are secure in who they are and how God made them. So it's easy to chase. It's easy to chase the comparison game, envy. You know, what's everyone saying about me on social media? How many likes? How many followers? Like how many people watch that video? And we're in a culture right now where a lot of eyeballs are on us. And it's easy to chase the wrong thing. So slow down, get some time away from that, be still and know that he is God, and come back to what does God say, his word, his promises. And then that's going to be something that your whole life, you're going to have a foundation. Jesus said, a house on the rock, not the sand.
Yeah.
And abide with Jesus. That's the key. 24/7 relationship. So many people compartmentalize one day, one place, just church. But this is abiding. This is closeness and a security in Jesus that no one else can give you. No one else can take it away.
So it's Easter weekend. We talked about Good Friday and obviously understand the implications of Jesus dying on the cross. But the real game changer is Sunday, right? Sunday's coming. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. It's Easter Sunday, and we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Why is that so important? I mean, this is what I think separates Jesus. I wouldn't just say Christianity, but Jesus from anything else is because of what we're celebrating on Easter Sunday.
Absolutely. The tomb is empty. This is not dead religion, a dead savior. He's the living hope. And the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, such a key chapter, encourage you to read that, spend some time thinking about that. And at the beginning of that chapter, here's the gospel, two parts. Christ died for our sins and he's risen from the grave. It's not just that he died. His death alone wouldn't be sufficient. If there's no resurrection, we don't have anything to talk about today. Like this is a delusion to talk about this hope because Jesus overcame the grave, appeared to over 500. It was very countercultural. He appeared to women first. Jesus elevates women, whereas sadly at that time they saw women as second class.
Yeah.
This is God's plan. He revealed himself risen to women first, over 500 eyewitnesses, and the evidence just keeps piling up. And with all that evidence, like Jesus should get our attention and then our devotion. When you think about the gospel, it's a both and, his death and his resurrection. And we've got something to celebrate. There's no greater news. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, this is of first importance. You know, a lot of people today, they're falling into the trap of politics are of first importance. The election is of first importance. Or even my team winning in whatever game is of first importance. My money is of first importance. We continually fall into that trap of, well, Jesus slides down to 3, 4, 5, 6. It's like, no, Jesus first. Let's make sure we keep our priorities straight and not just lip service. Because, you know, if you have kids, they're going to hear your words, but they're going to watch your life. And if you live it out, that's the legacy. And it's easy just to say, oh, it's Easter. Let's give a nod to Jesus. It's like, no, Easter is one day we celebrate the resurrection, But this gospel's core in everything we say and do, and it's an everyday celebration. But absolutely, at Easter, let's be intentional and really remember the greatness of Jesus in what he did, what he accomplished, and the implications both daily and eternally. Listen, the blessings don't stop, and it's all because of Jesus.
Yeah, it's the great game changer, I say. When I grasped and understood that, you know, that's when you go from death to life. I once was lost and now I'm found. You start to understand it. It's a game changer, Jesse. It just really is.
Absolutely. It's a hope that's indestructible. And I remember when the pandemic started, over half America was feeling hopeless. It's like, where's our hope going to come from? And hope is a confident and joyful trust in someone or something. Another way of saying that is your hope is only as strong as the one in whom you hope. So if you put your hope in a person, you might be disappointed quite a bit. But if your ultimate hope is in Jesus, he's perfect, he's faithful, and he's risen from the grave. And hope is available to everyone. You know, hope is relational with Jesus. Hope is habitual. There's some habits that in your faith you can start to cultivate that your hope is going to grow. But this hope, Jesus overcame the devil. And you might be wondering, is the devil real? The Bible says the devil's real. Fallen angel, he's defeated. Jesus is going to throw him into the lake of fire forever. Jesus, he overcomes death. Jesus also, when you think about sin in our lives right now, because of the resurrection of Jesus, we have power over sin because in every temptation, God gives us a way out. We also have the forgiveness, which is the penalty of sin, and there's going to be no sin in heaven. So Jesus has defeated sin, the devil, darkness, despair, and all of that, again, should drive us really towards Jesus. Don't be duped. I grew up in kind of a humanistic mentality of like, I'm self-sufficient, I can control everything, and that only grows in our culture. People think with all our technology and our methods and my education and all these things, like, I don't know if I need God, you know, our house, our car, all the prosperity and the blessings God gives us materially. Don't ever be duped, because you never graduate past reliance on Jesus. We can't do the Christian life alone. We need him every day. We need Jesus and we need each other. It's not a solo sport. So find a good church, find some people who are going to study the Bible with you, serve together. That's part of living out your faith, growing in hope, that you receive hope from Jesus every day and you give hope to other people. And that's the kind of lifestyle that's a resurrection lifestyle. It's a lifestyle full of hope, not just the form of religion, but the power and the love that God brings every day. And that's what it says in Scripture. Like, we have this power to overcome, just like Jesus overcame. And literally, I'll add this promise, 1 Corinthians 15 again, we're going to get resurrected bodies. These bodies are temporary. If you're an athlete and you're no longer playing, you're not as quick as you were, you're a weekend warrior, you know, you don't quite have the same quick first step. Here's the good news. We're going to have resurrected bodies.
Yes.
And for eternity, like, we're not going to have to put up with having to ice this and, you know, wrap this and out for 3 weeks because of this. Like, it's just another blessing from Jesus, because he overcame the grave. We're going to have resurrected bodies and we're going to be with him, finally see him face to face.
That's beautifully said. There's something you said a couple minutes ago that really has just been sitting in my brain as I'm listening to you. And it's, you never graduate from the reliance of Christ in your life. I think a lot of people struggle with that. And I want you to speak to the audience that's listening that might be like, well, I've done the church thing. I know the Bible in and out. If I miss a couple weeks or if I don't go to church for a year or two, that doesn't change my relationship with Jesus. My reliance is on him, but I'm doing pretty well. I got this figured out. Now, there's the other side that isn't doing so well, that maybe is wondering where hope is found. And we've talked about that. But I want to talk to the people who are listening who would say they believe in God, say they love Jesus, but maybe their life isn't so reflective of that, whether that's not going to church anymore, whether that's not even talking about God, maybe they're just too busy with life, maybe their kids are keeping them busy doing activities, and their reliance on Christ maybe is waning a little bit. Can you talk to them?
Absolutely, Jason. That's a great point. I like to say, if I'm going out on a trip or a journey, and the Christian life is, it's a journey, it's an adventure. If you start out 1 degree off, it doesn't seem like much in the trajectory. But if I'm flying from Seattle to Hawaii and we're 1 degree off, I'm not going to land on those islands that I want to spend time on, those beaches. It's going to be somewhere out. I can't build a house 1 degree off. And 1 degree off over time starts to grow, and you drift and wander more than you realize. We all have blind spots. And sometimes it's not until something surfaces, because sin always surfaces, that we realize, hey, I need to make some changes. Repentance is a great word. It's refreshing. It's a U-turn. It's a mid-course direction. We turn from sin to God. But for some people, they start to realize, man, I'm looking at some things on my phone I shouldn't. Like, I'm watching things, and I have no accountability, and I'm getting into trouble with my eyes. Like, that's a reminder. We need Jesus. Sometimes people carry resentment or bitterness. They're not forgiving other people. That's a reminder. We need Jesus. Jace, I appreciate your book and walking everyone through the forgiveness. And when God forgives us, you know, on the cross and through Jesus, he tells us, it's not a suggest or an option. He tells us, forgive everyone fully.
Yeah.
And that's daily. Healing is a process, but forgiveness is a choice. And if I'm not abiding with Jesus, I start to build up resentment. I'm not really forgiving people. There's a lot of things in our life. Our reactions aren't the same. If you're a parent, instead of the patience with your child, you start to get a little edgy. And let's say you're a parent and you're at a game. You start to say things to the ref that are embarrassing your kid. You know what? You're yelling from the sidelines. You forget this ref is not getting paid that much. And you're just glad there's no ref cam where your reactions and comments don't go on social media the next day.
Isn't like, that true?
There's a lot of stuff in our lives that just start to leak out when we're not close with Jesus. And you drift from prayer. You drift from the word. You're not really in scripture. You know, you're in the Bible and that keeps you from sin, or you're in sin that keeps you from the Bible. And you really got to be intentional in your faith. This isn't something that someone can do for you. If you just have a friend or a spouse or a pastor, like, they can't live it up for you. So owning it, being intentional. And I just talk to a lot of people that realize, wow, I have the intention, I have the desire to have God first, but that's not really matching how I'm living. And when we drift from God, it puts pressure on our marriage, it puts work, finances, all these things are like burdens that build up. And Jesus said, come to me if you're heavy laden. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm going to give you peace and rest for your souls. And that's the refreshment we need. So I say return. If you're in that spot today, return and receive. The Christian life is receive first. It's not performance and behavior modification. It's receiving and getting filled up with God's presence, his hope, his encouragement, his word. And when you get filled up, now there's an overflow.
Yeah.
And that's the picture of the Christian life right there. Receive, get filled up. And then let God work in you and through you. And you're going to bless so many people locally and globally. But if you're running on empty, it ends up just being something that's like a lot of humanistic effort. And you just know, oh, this could be better. It could be better. And Jesus brings abundant life.
Totally. He brings abundant life. I think that leads me to, as we wind down here, one of the most important parts of all of this, you know, Easter weekend, go to church, obviously, get refilled if you need to in the spirit with Christ and understand what he did for you and I. But then it's about the Great Commission. It's like sharing the good news, going public with your faith, telling others about Jesus. Why is that so important? I think that's where we'll land the plane here, Jesse, because I think people might go to church this weekend and they get it. Like, oh yeah, I'm in now. I'm back in. But some people, I think, are still a little shy, still a little gun shy, maybe a little scared to share their faith, especially in the society that we live in today. But it's so vital and important. Why is that?
Absolutely. It's a both and. Faith is very personal and private, and it's also public. And you think about baptism, water baptism, when you start your faith and you follow Jesus, that's the first step in terms of celebration and expression publicly that you're a follower of Jesus. You're not ashamed. You identify with Jesus. And it sets the tone for your walk with God. Jace, I think a lot of people respect you because you've lived out your faith at ESPN in that setting. And then you've also, now with Sports Spectrum, you're able to share your faith freely on the podcast. But you know what both environments look like. And a lot of people in their 9-to-5 jobs are wondering, well, what does the company say? What are the parameters? And it's important to be respectful in that one sense. But also, you can still pray during the day. You can invite a coworker out for lunch or to your house. A lot of times, living out your faith publicly starts at home. And it's having an environment at home where you're having conversations or you're praying together, you're in the Word together. And church is only, you know, a couple hours a week, but home is every day. And home should be just as vibrant spiritually as church. And when the culture at home starts to change, you get built up in your faith. And then where you live, work, learn, or play, you realize God has already called you an ambassador. This might be radical if you're watching, but he's already called you a priest. He's already called you a minister.
Yep.
And what does that mean? That means that you are representing God in this culture and you are helping people connect with God. That's going to include, we use an acronym at our church, BLESS, which is begin by praying for people, then listen. In conversations, listen. Listening precedes sharing. Listen well to the other person, their pain points and their story. And then eat a meal. Buy them a meal. Buy them some coffee. And then serve them. Find out what their needs are. They need a ride. Do they need some food? They need some yard work. They just need some encouragement. And then the last is share. Share the good news about Jesus. Share your faith. And what I found at our church is a lot of people get intimidated, really scared about evangelism. I'm not good at it. That sounds like I'm forcing someone, manipulating. But then when we say, well, God's blessed you to be a blessing. Here's how you can bless people. Love your neighbors. A lot of people are like, I can do that. I can build relationships. I can serve people. I can care for people. I can love people. I can invite them to church. I can share a podcast. You know, I can forward that, what I just listened to. There are so many resources and ways now that you can share with other people. And so simply pray. Say, God, show me today how I can bless people. Mm. Who do you want me to bless? And then the day is exciting. The day has purpose. And God will bring people in your path every day. And you can make a difference in their life. And the more you do that, the more you come alive. And then pretty soon you realize, why would I settle for anything less? Like my faith, loving people, I want to do this publicly. I want to do it daily. Like life's kind of boring when I'm not doing it. And I'll tell you, that excitement, and there's no limits. God will use you. Like our church, we're running, you know, for the seventh year half marathon to bring clean water for kids in Africa. Awesome. People are moving their feet.
Yeah.
You can make a difference. We just sponsored 200 kids in Cambodia. Like the world is so connected. Even your podcast right here, Jason, it's international and you get all kinds of people listening from around the world. So we're connected more than ever. It's part of the upside of social media, the internet, YouTube, and all these platforms to really encourage people. And more so than 10 years ago, I think almost everyone with what you say and do, the ripples, the ripple effect now, and how that translates and where that goes, even like from your own social media and your own community, people are tuned in and connected now. And the influence you can have in an incredible way to inspire people. God doesn't give us a spirit of timidity, but power and love. And the Holy Spirit will give us boldness. I still feel scared on the inside every time I share my faith. I still pray before an interview like this.
Of course.
You know, my team will let you know, like, I'm just asking for God's help. That's okay. It's going to be in our weakness. God's powerful. Just be authentic, be humble, and then God will take care of the rest. The results aren't on you. Trust God with the results.
Yeah, that's really good. Bless. I want people to, if they need to go back, you know, 2 minutes or whatever to what you just said, man, go back and listen to what Jesse just said about that acronym of BLESS and being able to share your faith. I think it's incredibly vital and important to remember that God commands us. It's a personal, private faith, but man, we got to be public with it as well. You mentioned prayer. I think it'd be great if you could close us out in prayer and just remembering the people who may be struggling, toeing the line, not sure about faith. Maybe they've had a difficult church experience and they're not sure about going back. Maybe it's those who are going to be at church this Sunday, but you know they haven't been going for a while. And maybe it's just some of us who are trying to live out the faith the best that we can. Can you just close us in prayer and encourage us, Jesse?
Yes, Jason. I also want to encourage people to check out the other episodes because this podcast with the interviews, you'll recognize a lot of the athletes. They're well-known athletes, but their story's not well-known. And Jason's really gifted at coming alongside of them in drawing that out. And then you get to hear what's really going on in the inside story of their lives. And I think you're going to be inspired and grow in your faith. So check out in a practical way some of the other episodes. And I would be honored to pray. So let's pray right now.
Thank you, brother.
Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for your goodness to us. And God, I pray for anyone that's been listening and hasn't started a relationship with you. I pray that they would move past any fears or doubts. And they would realize, taste and see that you are good. Jesus, thank you that you've already done the work. You died on the cross for our sins. You're risen. And because of what you've accomplished, we receive that gift by faith. And thank you for everyone starting a relationship today. I also thank you for everyone that already has a relationship, Jesus. And I pray that what we've been talking about today, God, we would really step into action. We'd start to read the Bible. We'd start to share our faith. We'd start to use our talents. We'd be generous with the money that we have. And God, we would make a difference in our community. I thank you for each person that's watching. And I pray for the relationship with you to grow, to deepen, to abide daily. And I pray that we would make whatever shifts we need to make, God, to be in alignment with you. There's nothing better to be saying and doing what you've called us to do and to live out our purpose. And I thank you for all the athletes that are watching. And I pray that as they're involved, they would know their performance is not their identity. And they would realize, God, that so many people look up to them and they would be able to point people to you. God, we thank you again for this podcast. Continue to use it around the world for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. And bless Jason, I pray, God, in all that he's doing, strengthen him. We ask in your name, Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. He is Jesse Bradley. He's pastoring Grace Community Church in Auburn, Washington. If you're in the Pacific Northwest and looking for a church on Sunday, check out Grace Community Church. Say hello to Jesse Bradley. He's also written a bunch of books and he speaks and does a lot of cool things outside of just pastoring. You can learn more at jessebradley.org. It's been an awesome conversation, my friend. It's my honor to have you back on the show, and thanks so much for being here.
Thanks. I really enjoy our time together, Jason. There's no limits to what God can do, so we're trusting him together.
Amen. Happy Easter.
Thank you. You too.
And many thanks to Jesse Bradley for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum, and we wish him a happy Easter. We wish you a happy Easter. I hope this conversation that you heard encourages you. I hope it encourages you to go to church on Sunday morning. I hope it encourages you to grow in your faith. I hope it encourages you, maybe if you've never really truly made that decision to say yes to Jesus, maybe listening to a conversation like this can help you do that as well. It's the most important decision that we will ever make. Yes to Jesus. That's what the Easter weekend is all about. Good Friday, the death of Jesus. Easter Sunday, the resurrection power found in Jesus ascending from the grave. That's what changes everything. Let today be the day that you say yes to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you do say yes to Jesus right now, if you're listening and you say, yep, I'm in, I want you to email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com, jason@sportsspectrum.com, and just say you're in. I'm in. I said yes to Jesus. I just want to encourage you. There's some really simple things that I can share with you from our website about saying yes to Jesus and what that means and starting this relationship with Christ. So if you want to do that, you can email me, jason@sportsspectrum.com. We really do appreciate you tuning in. We hope you have a great Easter weekend with your family, remembering who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It's a game changer. It changed my life. I pray that it changes your life as well. Thanks for tuning in. Hopefully we'll see you guys next time here on Sports Spectrum with a brand new episode of the podcast. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Hope you have a great Easter, and we will see you guys soon.